This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This fall, fall in love with Cozy. Nothing says autumn like wrapping up in the rich, warm colors of Minky Couture. From golden ambers to deep burgundy and rustic browns, Minky blankets bring the beauty of the season right into your home. Perfect for crisp evenings, family time, or gifting someone special. Fall in love with Minky and shop your favorite fall colors today at minkycouture.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
The story of baby Emmanuel Haro begins with silence. The kind of silence that never should exist in a family home. No soft cooing, no midnight cries, no rustle of tiny breaths under blankets, just absence. When Emmanuel's mother, Rebecca, picked up the phone in mid-August and told a 911 operator that her seven-month-old had been kidnapped from a sporting goods store parking lot, the details sounded strange but urgent. She said she had been knocked unconscious while changing his diaper in the back seat. She claimed that when she woke up, her son was gone. That story lit up police radios across San Bernardino County. A baby missing, a mother with a black eye, no suspect, no car description, no real lead to chase. And because there wasn't enough information, the system couldn't even issue an Amber Alert. Officers went door to door, combing nearby streets, reviewing security footage, and asking the public to stay alert. Within hours, both parents, Rebecca and her husband, Jake, stood in front of cameras, pretending to choke on tears, although no tears ever seemed to exit either of their faces. And they begged for their child's return. In one of the most suspicious, creepy, fake-looking, my baby was stolen from me ways you'll ever see on camera. Rebecca's plea was almost cinematic. Her visible bruise, her trembling voice, like something out of a fourth grade acting class where nobody said, you're putting it on a little much. Pull it back. Pull it back. But something about Jake's words caught the ears of those who listened closely. He referred to Emmanuel in the past tense. Not he is, but he was. For parents of a supposedly missing child, that was a crack in the facade that was hard to ignore. Detectives didn't ignore it either. They pressed harder, re-asking the same questions, replaying Rebecca's timeline, running down every thread, and quickly, inconsistencies started to appear. The bruises, the supposed stranger attack, the odd gaps in the parents' stories, it just was not adding up. When investigators pointed out these discrepancies, Rebecca stopped talking. You know, like you do when your baby is missing. Let's stop talking to the people trying to find them. She declined to continue with the interview. That silence spoke louder than any plea she had made on TV. And you know what? If you have nothing to hide, the last thing that you're going to be doing in that situation is worrying about how you're coming across. Am I going to say something that incriminates me? Your only goal is to get your baby back. And if you know damn well there's nothing you did to that baby, verbiage shouldn't be a concern. They know that too. People in chaos, people in trauma, they may speak in strange ways sometimes. It doesn't always mean that they had anything to do with the crime. But when you don't speak at all and your baby is missing, now that speaks louder than any weird thing that might come out of your mouth. Behind the scenes, investigators were already shifting focus. This wasn't looking like an abduction anymore. It was starting to look like something far darker, something contained inside the Haro family home. By the end of that week, the staged kidnapping had unraveled completely. Both parents were arrested, charged with first-degree murder, and booked into jail. And the sickening reality began to take shape. Emmanuel had not been stolen by a stranger in a parking lot. He'd been killed days earlier. The abuse building quietly until his small body couldn't take it anymore. The case didn't just shake people because a baby was gone. It rattled communities because of who the father was and who the system said, you're free to go. Go out there. Handle more children. Oh, you almost killed this one? Huh. I'm sure you learned your lesson. Jake Haro wasn't some unknown figure with no history. His record carried a glaring warning written in the broken body of another infant years before. Back in 2018, long before Emmanuel was even born, Jake had already been accused of horrific abuse. At the time, he had a 10-week-old daughter from a previous marriage. He told police he had dropped her while giving her a bath in the sink. But doctors who examined her injuries called the story impossible. The baby's skull had bled internally. Her ribs had been fractured. She had damage to her cervical spine and bleeding in her eyes. She seized uncontrollably in the hospital. These were the hallmarks of violent trauma, not an accident. One physician put it bluntly, she would have died if medical help hadn't arrived as quickly as it did. The girl survived, but barely. The damage is permanent. Today, she's a 7-year-old child who cannot walk, who lives with cerebral palsy, combined to a bed because of Jake, because of that asshole right there. You see him? Everyone in prison who's watching this on your iPads, he's coming to you very soon. There'll be money. I'm sure the public will donate to your very own canteens should this man suddenly leave the planet. Just saying. Not encouraging it. Not saying anything should happen. But since the system didn't stop this man, maybe it's time the system built of the people who are in that system, took care of the problem that the system itself is supposed to prevent. I think we're there. I think we are there. So remember that name. Jake Haro. We'll, of course, keep you up to date on where he ends up. Just in case you want to make an introduction. So that baby, that 7-year-old little girl, is living the life she will now permanently live. because of that monstrous POS. This case should have been simple. Prosecutors charged him. They pushed for prison, and they believed keeping him behind bars was the only way to stop history from repeating itself. But when Jake finally pled guilty in 23, the outcome, after maiming a child for the rest of her life, and I'd love to find out who this judge is as well, that said, you know what? A suspended 6-year sentence seems appropriate. We'll find out who that judge is too. Don't worry. We'll bring it to you. No prison. Probation. For maiming a human being for the rest of their life. A work release program. Parenting classes, because that'll fix it. He walked out of court still a free man. Still able to live with children. Still able to pull in any dumbass who's smart enough to think, I want to have kids with him. He seems like a nice guy. Still able to father new ones. If one were to say, make a request, that would serve the public good more than anything else. And again, maybe there's something needs to be executed behind bars. I don't know. I'd say maybe the removal of a certain body part from this man might be doing the world a favor. District Attorney Mike Heston later said it was as bluntly as he could. If that judge had done his job, Emmanuel would be alive today. Jake's freedom wasn't just about leniency. It was also about oversight. Probation terms for someone convicted of child cruelty should, in theory, carry restrictions. No contact with minors, mandatory check-ins, close monitoring. Yet Jake and Rebecca went on to build a new family. And by the time Emmanuel was born, they already had a toddler together in the house. And there's no record of Child Protective Services knocking on the door. No evidence of surprise visits, no system stepping in the way to say, hey, wait, this man nearly killed a baby before. Should he be allowed near these children at all? And the idiot didn't stay out of trouble. Less than a year after his conviction, he was caught with a firearm, a direct violation of probation. That case was pending when Emmanuel was born. Pending, not resolved. Which meant Jake was still free. Still at home. Still not the victim of a drive-by. Still playing father. While a second infant's life slipped under his watch. Truly, this is a man who should be run over repeatedly by a semi. Sheriff Shannon Dickus didn't dance around words when he spoke at a press conference after the arrest. He called Jake what he was, an experienced child abuser. And he pointed out what everyone else was thinking. This wasn't just a tragedy, it was a preventable one. If Jake's history set the stage for this tragedy, Rebecca's actions pushed the curtain all the way down. She was the one who dialed 911. She was the one who told the story about being attacked at a Big Five parking lot while changing her baby's diaper. She was the one who stood before cameras, her black eye, a silent prop, her tears, a desperate plea. For a few days, people believed her. Well, some people did. A bruised mother sobbing for her missing son. It's an image that can cut through cynicism if you believe people on the surface, if you for one moment looked at that woman and thought she was legit. Well, you better get your compass checked. Of course, with anything like this, communities rally, prayers are whispered, neighbors lit candles. All the while, all the stuff that could have prevented this, we don't do anything about. Let's light some candles, prayers. Thoughts,
hugs, posts.
Investigators knew from almost the start that something wasn't right. Her story didn't line up either. The injuries didn't match the timeline. Surveillance cameras caught nothing of the supposed attack in the parking lot. And when detectives pressed, Rebecca stopped talking. That refusal cracked open the case. From there, the whole thing unraveled fast. By the time both parents were arrested, prosecutors were already confident they weren't dealing with the kidnapping gone wrong angle. They were dealing with a murder. Evidence pointed to a chilling truth. Emmanuel had been dead for days before anyone dialed 911. The frantic search was never about finding a living child. It was about uncovering a body. Officials later revealed what the evidence suggested. Emmanuel had been abused repeatedly in his short life. 7 months of bruises, injuries, suffering until his body gave out. The staged abduction was a cover, a performance meant to deflect suspicion and buy time. But it didn't last. And here's where the anger really boils over, because Emmanuel's death didn't happen in a vacuum. This wasn't one terrible moment nobody could have seen coming. It was a combination of failures, decisions made by judges, probation officers, agencies who should have known better. And we will do a piece on all of you. And we will name you as well. It's coming, Judge. People will know the decisions you made. Jake Haro wasn't just any man. He was a convicted child abuser. He had already left one baby permanently disabled. He already had been given a second chance he didn't deserve. The district attorney called it out plainly. This was the system breaking down. This was the price of leniency and incompetency from that judge. Sheriff Chad Bianco said it too. He didn't mince words when he told the press this was preventable in numerous ways. Sheriff Dickus went further, labeling Jake exactly what he was, an experienced child abuser. They weren't just talking about Emmanuel's death. They were pointing fingers at the system that let Jake stay in a home with children. Think about it. A man convicted of nearly killing a baby gets probation instead of prison. Then the same man violates probation by possessing a firearm. Another chance to take him off the streets. Yet the violation drags through the courts unresolved, all the while he's free, free to father another child because he can't keep it in his pants, free to live under the same roof as infants, free to repeat what he'd already done once before. And the agencies tasked with protecting the children, silent. No proactive check-ins, no monitoring of the Haro household when Emmanuel was born, no investigation until it was too late. Only after Emmanuel disappeared did Child Protective Services swoop in to remove the couple's surviving toddler. By then, one child was already gone. That silence of courts, of agencies, of oversight is what let Emmanuel slip through the cracks. And it's the silence the public can't stop talking about. Because people did see something in this case, and they said something. Doctors saw it in 2018 when they examined Jake's first daughter and declared her injuries a result of abuse. Prosecutors saw it in 23 when they pushed for prison and said probation wasn't enough. Deputies saw it again in 24 when they caught Jake breaking probation with a firearm. Even neighbors saw signs this year. There was another child abuse report tied to the Haro household just days before Emmanuel was reported missing. The problem wasn't a lack of eyes. The problem was that each time the system looked away. So it's time we start looking at the system and the very people in that system. Some simply have their hands tied. And they have nothing to do but their job, like the child protective workers who are already understaffed, have caseloads that they cannot possibly follow up on. But that judge who made that choice, that judge is a different story. That judge's name, we're going to let be known. We're going to dig into you. We're going to talk about you. We're going to find out your history. We're going to find out your past rulings. We're going to say your name loud and proud for a long time. We're going to shame the living shit out of you. Because of you, another kid is dead. I wonder how many more there are. because of your shit decisions that are dead. And because you have that immunity behind the bench. You may have immunity. We're not asking anyone to do anything illegal. We're not asking anyone to harm anybody. We're just going to expose the shit out of you. So your friends, your family, everyone knows what a poor decision maker you are. And so the rest of the world does too. And maybe there'll be public pressure to have you removed. That's our goal. I'm sure you'll get your pension, your money. You can go retire, do whatever dumbass thing you want to do. But at least you'll not be there with the ability to destroy more lives by enabling the poor decisions of poor decision makers with your own apparently poor decision making from behind the bench. So, Judge, your name's going to be known very soon. You can Google it right now. We're going to do some pieces. At vigils, people whispered Emmanuel's name, lit candles, held up signs demanding justice. They weren't just grieving a baby. They were grieving the collapse of a system designed to protect him. They asked how a man known to harm infants could ever be trusted again. I'd say, ask the judge. They asked why a mother would stand beside him, spinning lies instead of saving her child. They asked whether anyone in authority would be held accountable for ignoring the red flags. And maybe that's the hardest truth here. It's not just about what Jake and Rebecca allegedly did. It's about what was allowed to happen around them. The judge who looked at a broken baby girl and decided probation was enough. You keeping your position on the stand. Sorry. A lot of people are going to have a lot of problems with this. The probation system that missed or ignored the violations, an agency that didn't step in when a convicted abuser had new children. These aren't cracks in the system. This is how the system works, and it works with gaping holes. And with that, it doesn't work. This is, when you press play on the system, how it operates. Are we happy with it? Are we cool with all of this? If we're not, then we need to start making changes. We need to start speaking up. We need to start publicly shaming the monsters in the system that enable the other monsters below them. Because a monster helping a monster doesn't help anyone. This 7-month-old boy fell straight through all of it. The search for Emmanuel's body continues. Officials say they have a strong indication of where he was left, but the recovery has been slow. Without his remains, there's no grave to visit, no small coffin to lower, no closure for a community that desperately wants it. As for Jake and Rebecca, they sit in jail cells, facing murder charges that could put them away for life. Neither, as of this recording, has entered a plea yet. Their next court date looms. A surviving toddler is in private protective custody, removed from the home that failed her brother. What remains is the outrage, the sense that Emmanuel didn't just die at the hands of his parents. He died because the system thought giving his father another chance was worth the risk. That's the haunting part. See something, say something. It's a mantra we're told to live by. But it doesn't work if nothing is done. He should have never been in this risky of a situation, this child. In theory, this child should have never been born. His father should have been in prison. His mother should never have been pressured to cover a lie. His mother should have never thought it was a good idea to shack up with this guy. What's ever going through her brain is a whole other story. And the system should have made sure of it, but it didn't. And now the silence that began this story lingers on. The silence of a missing child whose cries will never be heard again. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. On YouTube, great. If not, search Hidden Killers with Tony Brewski to find us there. You can do that same search wherever you're getting podcasts to take us with you on the go. So preventable. So preventable. And now we're going to have to expose the folks who could have prevented.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts. Hi, I'm Paula Zahn, announcing the launch of On the Case, the podcast. Experience the most dramatic true crime investigations in a whole new way. Hear from loved ones on a relentless quest for justice and interviews with the detectives who piece together the mystery. On the Case with Paula Zahn, the podcast. Download it wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey there, True Crime Podcast fans. It's Patrick and Jillian from True Crime Obsessed.
Each week on TCO, we recap a true crime documentary everyone's talking about, and we do it with heart, sass, and just the right amount of humor.
So if you like the kind of podcast where two good friends chat about a case in a thoughtful way that centers the victims, you really gotta check us out.
Yeah, we cover the well-known cases that you hear about in the news and the underreported cases that desperately need more attention.
For almost 9 years, we've been one of the most popular true crime podcasts out there.
We have over 30,000 five-star reviews on Apple Apple Podcasts, and our brand new YouTube channel has over 50,000 subscribers watching our full-length video episodes, too.
So find and subscribe True Crime Obsessed wherever you get your podcasts.